we teach it and we, you know, everybody says, woohoo, yeah, we walk and we live by faith. Mm-hmm. Don't y'all just love those? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Don't you just love those?
Amen.
Times that you walk and you live by faith. I know why y'all ain't saying nothing. Because they don't feel good.
That's right.
And we love feelings. The good kind of feelings. I don't like the bad feelings. So this is one of those this morning. Zach said, what's it going to, what, Monty? Nothing? I heard say something, but I didn't know. So this is one of those that come in the door and he's asked me up there. He said, you got a title or whatever? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, maybe we'll figure it out later. Maybe we won't put a title on it at all. I have no idea. I mean, as I just work here.
Right.
Yeah, like we use a Sunday school teacher. You're supposed to know all of it. Really now? I can take you to scripture that says whenever all of us come together, every one of us is supposed to have a song,
yep,
a hymn, yep, a teaching. Oh, y'all missed that. That's in the New Testament. Y'all moved over that one. Y'all skipped that one while Johnny's laughing. Hey, you read it, didn't you, Johnny? We like those for everybody else, don't we? I started this morning because sometimes God just outright interrupts things. Sometimes when you're up here, you'll have a laid out message, and then it seems like you'll have to take a little detour or a little sidetrack and then get back on the road. Have y'all ever noticed that? It's because somebody's got to have something. God tailor makes every one of our services whenever we come together. He knows exactly what every one of us need. And it's not always exactly to the T the same thing. I mean, it's sometimes when we take vitamins and then you go to the doctor and they test your blood or whatever, you might need a little bit more magnesium,
right,
or something other than somebody else. The Bible says he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies, right?
Right.
So this morning, I had a lot of things going off of me and a lot of things that I was thinking about and a lot of different scriptures. And I'm like, okay, is this interference or what is this? Because see, y'all think y'all get attacked? I got to bring the Sunday school.
Right.
So who you think he attacked more?
Right.
So I'm thinking this morning, is this he trying to run interference with me or what? I don't think it's interference this morning, though. But because of what I was hearing and everything, I started to title this, and I may do it, Don't Feed the Beast. Every one of us got a beauty, and every one of us got a beast somewhere.
Amen.
And we're supposed to be working on both. Let's see where I want to go. Now, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And this would probably, I guess it would be down those lines too. We talked a little bit. We went over the scriptures where Jesus was tempted. And every time he come back with, it's written, it's written. And then he came back because Satan started using the word on him. He came back with, it's said. You know, there is written word, which is we call logos. It's just written word. And then there's what we call rhema word. It's like when you've been reading your Bible and that word just kind of like magnifies, comes out to you or sticks out to you. Or you say you get in a trial or a test or something other, and all of a sudden you hear Brother Scotty's voice, you know, or you hear my voice or you hear somebody's voice, something that he said that he was preaching or something. That's what we call rhema word. And that's when Jesus said, it is said. That's why I said Romans 8, those the sons of God are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says also that we are his sheep, those of us that are born again, and we hear his voice.
Right.
Now, we may not always know the voice that we're hearing his voice, because how many know sometimes the devil likes to masquerade as God's voice?
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
But he says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger or of another, they don't follow.
Right.
Right? Now, we went over that and we looked at the temptation of Jesus. We looked at the first temptation of Adam and Eve. We looked at the one of Jesus. And he would come back every time with the written word. And then he'd come back with it said. And we went over there to 2 Corinthians 10. Let's go back over there. You got your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Well, before you go there, go over to James.
James?
Yeah, James. I don't have this written down. We're just going to flow, okay?
Amen.
So you may have to find some scriptures for me. Let's see here. What chapter I want to go to. I think it's one, but let me see. Verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word, you can look that up, but it means different trials, tests, temptations, traps, snares. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Just because you're in a test doesn't mean you don't have faith. Sometimes you're in one because you do. He says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If you're in a test and your faith is being tested, it's supposed to be working patience, which would be translate endurance to us. He says, but let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this is very needful for us, but it doesn't feel good. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also the rich man fade away in his ways. Now notice this. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now this means whenever you're tempted, when you don't yield, you overcome. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, I've heard people say, God's tempting me. This verse says he does not tempt any man to do evil. There's no evil in him whatsoever, and he tempts no man to do evil. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is when temptation is. You remember Jesus, one place I can't think of it now, I got it wrote down in my notes, but I'm not going through all the pages. Jesus said, the wicked one cometh, but he has no place in me. We've read the scripture in Ephesians, I don't know how many times now, where it says, give no place to the devil or give him no opportunity, you know, to work or whatever. This is what he's talking about here. Jesus said, he comes, but he has no place in me. Other place, Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, he said, but the will of the Father who sent me. In other words, everything in Jesus was nothing except, I don't want anything, I want everything that the Father wants. Right. Remember the scriptures we read over there in Ephesians? He said, put away lying and stealing and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and all this stuff. He says, put it away. Not God's going to put it away. It's we have to put it away.
Yeah.
That's why I said, don't feed the beast. Whatever you feed in your life is going to get stronger.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is.
Right.
You may not have an addiction for brownies, but start eating a box of brownies a day. Just make yourself. Yeah, some of y'all are like, nah, it couldn't happen. Oh, yes, it could.
Yeah.
Do you know that's exactly how addiction to cigarettes starts?
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but the first cigarette I smoked, I thought I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Why I smoked another one, I have not a clue. I mean, you're huffing and you're puffing and you're choking and you're gagging and you still smoke another one. And then it becomes another one and another one and another one and another. Sandy, I did not have an addiction before I smoked the first one, and I didn't have an addiction after I smoked the first pack. What happened? I just kept feeding it.
Right.
I just kept feeding it. I didn't even like it, but I just kept feeding it. I don't know why. I mean, I can remember, I don't think I was but maybe 6 or 7 years old. And me and my cousin, we called him Bubba, being called outside at the back of the trailer back there. I think it was down there at that Cornelius trailer park. And Mama just beat me far out of me. And I don't think I'm but like 6 or 7 years old. I don't know why, Johnny. But I just had a desire to smoke cigarettes nearly all of my life, as long as I can remember. Now, I've got a sister, that girl. You can't pay her large amounts of money to smoke. Ain't no way whatsoever. She just ain't going to smoke. You can't tempt her to smoke, Johnny. You can't tempt her to do it. Now, maybe something else you might, but not that. Why is that? Every one of us, the Bible says, is born into sin. Why? Because we was in Adam whenever he sinned. We was in his seed. So therefore, whenever him and Eve gave in to the devil and the sin nature came in, every one of us, the Bible says, are born into sin. So therefore, every one of us is born with a sin nature, with a bent or a drive to some certain kind of sin. We're born with it. That's how come all of us don't have the same thing. All of us are not drawn to the same thing. But we all have a beauty and we all have a beast. So for me, for as long as I can remember, one of mine was cigarettes. I mean, Mama said, I don't know how old I was. She might tell you now. But she said, I used to eat ashes out of the ashtrays. I mean, can you imagine? God, I mean, them things stink. They're nasty. Why in the world would you ever want to eat ashes? As a little bitty kid, why would you want to eat ashes? Y'all real quiet, ain't saying that. Listen, we might get on yours in a minute. That's what y'all were hoping we don't do, ain't it? I can tell because there's certain things that I say, you can feel it. People just kind of go, oh. Listen, we're all among family, right? Just like I said, we all got a beast. We all got something that we deal with. Yours may not be cigarettes, it may not be drugs, it may be cussing, it may be porn, it may, no telling what it might be. It's some kind of sin that we're all born with. And you might think, well, I don't have one. Yes, you do, you liar.
That's right.
You just now told a lie, so we know you lie. So you're born with that lying one, huh? There's some people, I'm telling you, they would lie when the truth would fit better. Why do they lie like that? They're born with the nature of that liar. Oh, my goodness. I say this is going real good.
Amen.
We're learning.
But notice here what he says. He says, verse 14, but every man is tempted. What does the word tempted mean? I'm drawn to something. Just like Jesus, the devil told Jesus. Y'all remember the story? We read it last week. He said, all the kingdoms and their glory of them I'll give to you because it's been turned over to me, right? All of this stuff that you see, I'll give it to you. He had no desire for all of that.
Right.
His father owns absolutely everything. Right?
Yeah.
There was nothing made apart from him. But yet, if it hadn't been a temptation, he could not have done it. See, I'm kind of like this. It makes me think of fishing. Now, there's certain fish, they're not going to bite a worm. 99.9% of the time, they're not going to bite a red worm. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all don't fish? Stacy, she's a big fisherman. Too bad Richard's not here today. He's a really big one. Yeah. Scotty has a tackle box. It has all different kinds of what he calls lures in it. You got your top water spinners and all this other stuff. I mean, he could tell you about it. You got your worms about this long, you know. You got little frogs and you got these that you got to do them like this, you know, whenever you're reeling them in. That's way too much work for me. You got them that they're called bass lures. You throw them out, reel them in. Throw them out, reel them in. Throw them out. That's way too much work for me. I just want to throw it out there, lady, get on there, and then I'll reel you in. But he likes to go all the way around the pond or the lake or wherever we're fishing at. He's got about 15 fishing rods, and every one of them got a different lure in them. Why? He's going to catch something, Johnny.
Right.
One way or another. And I'm sitting there with my one fishing rod with my one little worm on it. I did catch a crappie the other day, but I wasn't even crappie fishing. It just happened to bite us that day. But notice that. He says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. What's the word lust mean? Most of us think about sex. That's not what it means.
Strong desire.
It means strong desire. It means you can have strong desire for a cigarette. You can have strong desire for a brownie. You can have strong desire for a milkshake. I mean, some people, their thing is not lying. It's not smoking or drinking. It is eating.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they sure enough do it. Y'all ever seen that show? I can't think of the name of the show now. My 600-pound life. It's got Dr. Now on there. Y'all don't know what y'all missing. See, I like to watch that show and eat tater chips and see how fat they are and how little I am.
Makes
me
feel better.
Yeah, makes me feel better, Johnny. But then at the same time, I know if I don't stop eating them tater chips and do something, there I am. Why? Because their thing might not be smoking or doing drugs or sex or all of that, but it is eating. Do you know the Bible talks about a spirit of gluttony, which is sin? But we don't want to hear about that one, do we?
No.
See, we can't smoke, drink, cuss, and all of that, but we can sure enough eat. If something bothers you, Monty, we'll find it. Or you can just tell us.
I know what mine is. It was cigarettes.
You got some more. He just ain't put his finger on them yet. Why? How do I know that? Because ain't none of us arrived at Christ-like total perfection yet.
Amen.
And we won't till he comes. Now, we all can go on different levels. You know, and I'm not saying that some of us might not be further along than others. But the reason why he says that is because that's what it makes me think of. It's like lures. He has been around for millenniums. We done looked at it. The thing he uses is words. The power of words, the power of suggestion. His thing is trickery. And there's nobody better at it than him.
Amen.
Now, do we have to yield? Absolutely not. That's why we have the written word of God. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells on the inside of us. The Bible says we'll be led forth with peace. But how many knows? He's hoping we're not listening to all of that. We're not looking for all of that. That there's something on the inside of me, just like this. Say you take a woman. She's born again. She's on fire for God. She loves the Lord, but she wants a husband. And there ain't none of them in the church available or that she has desire for. She's at the store one day. Say she's out here at Wheatoden. I'm just making this up as we go along. She's out here at Wheatoden or whatever. And she comes out the door, and there sits this hot-looking guy over there. She thinks, well, he looks pretty good. Well, he goes in the store, and he comes back out, and he sees her, and he thinks, well, she looks pretty good. Well, he just goes over and asks her for her number or her date or something other. And the first thing she says is, my number, what does she not say? And are you saved?
Right.
Are you the devil?
Yeah.
The Doris does. People try to set her up, and she's like, they say, they go to church, do they tithe? How long they been saved? Did they just now get saved? Who's their mama? Who's their daddy? Y'all notice she's still alone. The devil keeps sinning them and she keeps rejecting them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because they would be my stepdaddy. Oh, that wouldn't be good. That would be bad. But just for a scenario. So they go out on a date. She don't know if he's saved, not saved. He don't know if she's saved, not saved. He's not saved. She is. What does the Bible say about that? Oh, we don't even think about that verse when they look good. And got a good job, got some money, Johnny. Don't live in mama's basement. We don't want them living in mama's basement. Right? Y'all ain't saying that.
That's right.
Woo! Take notes, Destiny. Oh, she's back yonder. Y'all have to let her hear it later. Yeah. Well, they go on a date and they like each other, you know? Well, that's pretty good, you know? So, they go on another day. Well, and then she starts asking, where do you go to church at? I don't go to church. Oh, well, you need to come visit my church, you know, blah, 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 blah. Get them over here, visit church, you know. We ain't thinking about that verse. What does that say again? Sandy, you the only one knows that verse in this room? Well, we won't think about that verse, Johnny. We won't think about that. Why? This feels too good. Here, he's everything I've been looking for. I prayed. I said, God, let him have this color hair, this color eyes, and drive this kind of car and have a good job. He's everything I asked for, but did you ask for him to be saved? See, a lot of us don't like to admit it, but we like the bad boys.
Yep.
Yeah, I married one. And then I can live with him. That's what you get. That's why they're called bad. Scenario goes on. She invites him to church. He comes a time or two or whatever, but he likes fishing better than he likes going to church. He likes going to the flea market better than he likes going to church. And then she finds out, well, you know, are you saved or whatever? Saved? What's saved? Then she knows he ain't saved. And he don't want to go to church, Sandy. So now he starts telling her, well, can't you not go to church this Sunday morning, you know? Can't we go to the lake? gosh, you know, it is getting springtime. It's warming up, you know, and the fish are biting. The barometer's a certain thing. Y'all ain't said that. She's like, well, no, I got to go to church. You know, I'm in ministry at church. So I'm supposed to be at church, you know, so many times a week at least. You know, and I like to go to church, you know, and I'm supposed to go to church, so I can't go today. So he goes on without her. Time goes on. What's that verse say? Tell them, Sandy, they don't know what it says.
I'll be unequally yoked.
Well, think about that one. Holy Ghost. How many knows Holy Ghost is always trying to talk to us 24/7? He's trying to tell us the whole time. He'll bring verses. He'll bring people's voices. But the devil is too. Then you got your girlfriend over there. She's supposed to be saved too, but she's about half backslid. And she's like, well, I'm telling you, you might better go to the lake with him, you know, because there was some girls up there that I saw last week, and blah, 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 the story starts going. Yeah. Nobody's saying nothing.
That's right.
So then the next weekend, he tells her he's going fishing, and she's like, okay, I'll go this weekend. Whoa, what just happened? I thought you had ministry. I thought you're supposed to be at church so many times a week to fulfill your ministry. I thought you loved the body of Christ. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
I thought you loved the Lord. What about your tithe? Oh, I'll save it. Listen, when I backslid, I saved our tithes for I don't know how many months. Until Johnny, I just got so cold, it didn't matter anymore. But when I first quit going to church and wasn't going to serve the Lord, I kept saving it and saving it. Why? Because there's something in my heart. I still love the Lord, and I'm still going to do that. And I do that for a little while, and then a time comes whenever I had a desire for Travis this it's a bunk bed futon on the bottom and a half bunk on the top or whatever, you know, metal thing. Come across one, and guess what happened? I had a strong desire, Sandy, one that was stronger than the saving of the tithe for months. That I was going to give to God once I ever did go back or whatever. We bought that bed. What happens? See, a lot of times we like to say, well, it's okay. That scripture will come. Tell them again, Sandy. Tell them the scripture.
Not being equally yoked.
Together with a non-believer. If you are a believer. Why? Y'all have nothing in common. One is going to overtake the other sooner or later. But you have strong desire. But he's the one. No, he ain't. How do I know he's not the one? Because he ain't saved. So y'all ain't saying nothing. This is just an example. You can use this with absolutely anything because you can have strong desire for anything.
Right.
Anything. And you can put anything in the place of God. We don't have to make an idol up here, a golden calf, and bow down and worship it. My idol can be myself and my own desires.
Right.
But that's what he says, though. And see, he's been around for millenniums, and he knows us. He watches us. That's how come y'all heard the story Scotty tells about Travis before. And it's not just him. I mean, probably all of us at some time or another may have had the same thing. But he had this thing. Every time he'd get to the red light or around guys, or whatever, they want a race. And see, I always told him, I know your halo's not on straight, Johnny, but your daddy don't. Why? Because I did what he did before he was ever got here. So I know the game. Whatever he did, I invented it before he got here. Scotty did a lot of what he did because Tracy told him to. Ah, did you find that out first?
I already knew.
Hey, you wanted to go anyway or you wouldn't have done it, so hey. And this the one brought it up. But anyway, he would get the red lights or around people, whatever, and they just wanted to race all the time. So he'd all the time be burning out at the red light or somewhere or another, you know, and Scotty would tell him, son, as long as you keep yielding to that, and I call it feed the beast. As long as you keep giving in to that desire, as long as you keep falling into that test or that trial or that temptation instead of overcoming it, it's not going to stop.
Right.
So sure enough, you know, it kept happening and everything, so he quit burning out. He wouldn't do it. Well, lo and behold, before long, it stopped. Why did it stop? Because the devil's not getting no fish with that lure.
Right.
The Bible tells us, put off lying. Why? That's not of the new man. That's of the old man. Can I still lie? I absolutely can. May I have strong desire to lie? Absolutely. Sometimes I do, especially if it's going to get me in trouble or make me look bad. Do I have to lie? No. I'm not a liar. I used to be a liar. Why? I was born a liar. My father was a liar, right? The author of lies. He created lying. But I've been born again, therefore I have a new nature. I'm not a liar anymore. Therefore, I don't want to lie. In my spirit, I don't want to lie.
Right.
And so, therefore, if I don't put off that lying, I just keep yielding to it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get stronger. It's going to get stronger in my life, no matter what it is. As long as I keep eating those, but I have no desire, Sandy, for brownies. I don't even like brownies anymore. Unbelievable. I would eat a box of them little chocolate brownies with a little spray colored sprinkles on them a day. I'm not kidding you.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. If I need any help out of you, I'll ask you. But anyway. Now, Scotty, let's just get on in for a minute. His thing is not brownies. He's never had no desire for sweets. Now, he may eat a piece of candy or something every now and then. His thing is not sweets. But you can tell him to smile, Johnny, and he won't. Because he has ate his teeth up, ate all the enamel off his teeth, so he ain't hardly got any, with lemons and green plums and salt. I'm talking about the man ate 3-4 lemons a night, every night. I mean, I'm sitting over there, my mouth just watering. I can't stand sour. I'm way too sweet to eat sour. And he is way too sour to eat sweet.
Right.
But see, that's not his thing. He has no desire for that whatsoever. You know, he ain't never been all that big until now. Got Dr. Toby lose that baby or whatever. And he came to me one day, Sandy, and he said, "What's fat feel like?" And I said, "What you asking me for?" This man needs help, don't he, Johnny? I was about to help him. Do you know Jesus? You about to meet him. But yeah. But he didn't get that way by eating sweets. No, not his thing. But it was mine. And to this day, you know, y'all know the story. I became a diabetic. They put me on that medicine. That made me sick. What to say it is sick as a dog or whatever. And the next thing was the shots. So I had to do something. So you know what I did, Johnny? I asked the Holy Spirit, number one. I said, "Help me. Help me. I can't do this by myself." And he never intended us to live this life by ourselves.
Right.
He said, "I'm with you always." He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end."
Glory to God.
Right? When I asked him, I said, "Holy Spirit," I said, "help me. Help me to lose this weight. Help me not to have a strong desire for these brownies."
Right.
I mean, seriously, you wouldn't think a brownie could take you down. Them things are trying to kill me.
Right.
It is a box of brownies. But they're trying to kill me. Or the devil's trying to kill me with them.
Right.
Now, they didn't jump in my mouth while I'm sitting in the recliner. And I'm not saying that. That's my fault. I had the thought, I yielded, but the more I ate them things, the stronger it got until I'm eating a box a day. I think there's something like 10 or 12 or maybe more in that. And I would feel like, after breakfast, I got to have a snack. Then there about 10 o'clock, I got to have a snack. Then right before lunch, I got to have a snack. Then I'd eat lunch, I got to have a snack. I wouldn't feel full until I ate the brownie.
Right.
You see, Mr. Donnie over there, skinny, he can say all that right.
Hey, but I like brownies.
Oh, you love brownies, Johnny? Yeah, I'm talking to you. But you keep yourself disciplined with the brownies. My point being is, it doesn't matter whatever it is. That's just like driving. I'm telling you, people driving on the road. Scotty won't be having no problem. I can get in the vehicle with him, and I'm telling you, they fly around us, get in front, put on their brakes, and turn left. But it don't happen until I get in the vehicle with him, Johnny. Why? Just like Travis burning rubber at the red light every time. Because you know what happened, Sandy? I ain't stopped it yet. I know it now. I learned it. I see it. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing me. Now I got to yield. Just like yesterday, we was coming back from Arab, and that exact thing happened to us. I said, "Are you serious? Can you believe that? Look what they just did." I wanted to say some other choice words and flip a few birds, but I didn't go that far. But guess what? That's going to keep happening until I just like it ain't even there. And then it will finally stop.
Yeah.
But that's what he says, though. Notice that verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust." One thing that gets on my nerves is a know-it-all. Usually whatever bothers you is because you are it and got some of it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It's like if somebody acts like they know everything, it is my job, Sandy. I've got to make sure that they find out they don't know everything. You know why?
Because you do.
I know everything. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ever been telling somebody a story about something that happened to you or the Lord done for you, and they start interrupting and telling you their story?
Right.
Mm.
What? Amen.
Because your story's way better than theirs, and they just need to shut up so you can tell yours.
Y'all ain't saying nothing.
We don't even realize a lot of times what this is. It's called PRIDE. I was telling something the other day. Now, Scotty, he didn't mean nothing about it or whatever. And I was telling something, I was about halfway through, and he started flapping and flapping. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, I ain't finished talking yet. Hush. I got to, Lord, Lord, let's don't do these, be led. These, way too much stuff comes out in these. I said, whoa, 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 I ain't finished my story yet. Hush. Let me finish telling you, and then you can say something. You know what? If you, the Bible talks about how that after one person tells their story, they seem right until the other person tells their story. You ain't saying nothing. Well, if you just heard half of my story, you ain't even got the facts, but yet you've done formed an opinion.
Right, that's right.
Mm, that's not good. That's not good for me. Oh, so if you think you know everything, just let me know because I need to help you. No, I'm the one that needs the help. If I think I need to help you, I'm the one that needs the help. The humble are not running around thinking they need to help everybody. No. I tell Scotty, I said, it's in the scripture. God knew you needed help, so he put in the verses. He created Adam because Adam needed help. Y'all men, you need help. That's why I'm here, to help you. I use the scripture. Now, how many knows the devil quoted the scripture out of context and not with the right spirit?
That's right.
So he lets me know when I tell him that. Which I'm just kidding with him when I do it most of the time. Sometimes I mean it. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. What is yours? Do you think you have one?
Yeah.
Monty thought he did. I bet April could tell us where some of them are. She's laughing. I bet Scotty could probably tell you. Listen, we're on the way over here this morning, and don't think everything is you because it's not. This morning, I'm telling you, I'm sitting over driving, and when I'm not feeling real good, that man starts laughing, Johnny, and it sets me on fire. We're on the way over here this morning. He used to drive, but some reason he's quit, and I think he needs to start back. He don't know this, but I'm telling y'all right now. Every sound, every movement he made this morning is on my last nerve. I want to open the door and just kick him out on the road. I want to scream. And I'm sitting there. Now, what's happening? There's been a lure thrown at me.
Yep.
I have the thoughts, and I can feel it, and it seems like it would feel so good. But yet, and it's making me miserable to feel this way. And then I start thinking, this is not me. I know who you are. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, even if Scotty's being ignorant. Doing it on purpose. Yielding to the devil. Don't make no difference. Or vice versa. How many knows Peter himself had a revelation of who the Christ was, Jesus the Christ, in Matthew 16, and go on down to verse 21 through 28, and he's rebuking him. Right. Now, how smart are you? That's just the way we are. He has a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and then the next few verses, he's pulling Jesus aside after Jesus told him what's going to happen to him. He starts rebuking the Lord. Right. That's not too smart. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I thought, oh, I know who you are. Scotty's not my problem. And this is not me. This is not my thoughts. This is not my feelings. And I'm not going to yield to you. And y'all can see he still has his hair. Why? Because, see, it doesn't matter that I'm saved. It doesn't matter that I'm the Sunday school teacher. I have an anointing to teach. When I leave here or come down, I'm just like the rest of y'all. I have to live it, get it, do it, just like everybody else does. And I don't have any special thing, you know, to live it or whatever. And a lot of times he'll come at me more because I am the Sunday school teacher.
Right.
He would just love if I just called his eyes out and he come in here and had to preach like that. You know why? Because then he's going to condemn me and to tell y'all, see there, I don't think y'all need to be listening to her because I can tell you just right now. Y'all never hear none of that, do you? But he says, drawn away, he says, of his own lust. What is yours? You need to identify. I'm not saying tell me. But you need to know what your strong desires are that are not like God. Why? Because we need to cut them off and quit feeding the beast. I know whenever I quit smoking, that was one of the hardest things in my entire life I had ever done. And I love God, and I don't want to do it, but at the same, Brother Brad had these classes one time when we was going to church up there of how to help us to overcome people that was smoking or dipping or had any kind of tobacco use or whatever. He had classes for us and everything, and I went to the classes. And I told him one day, I said, part of me wants to be here. I said, but the other part of me don't. Why? Because there's something in me that still wanted to smoke. So the thing that I had to do whenever I laid them down for, I don't know how many times before, the last time or whatever, I had to use the word. The thought would come to me. I mean, your mouth waters, you slobber, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because your body has an addiction to it, just like food or anything else, the case may be. And I would have to use the word when the thought would come to me about smoking. Listen, and don't take this for smoking. It can be used in every area of our life. There's no other way to overcome. There's no other way that Adam and Eve yielded and Jesus overcame than what? He said, it's written. It's written. It's said. There's no other way, man, you are going to do it. Just like he talks about over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Right? He says, taking every thought captive. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. Why? To the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes we can have a stronghold in our life, like Brother Brad said a few weeks ago or whatever, till we get born again and we get going along good and good and good. You know, everything's real good until we come to that place to where inside of us, well, I really don't want to get rid of that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There's something in me kind of likes that.
Right.
So then it seems kind of like you slow down, or you got a demon there that's like, okay, y'all remember what Pharaoh told him? He said, okay, you want to take them out and worship and everything, leave your kids here. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all remember that story?
Yeah.
When God was going to take them out into the wilderness to serve him, and he sent Moses over there to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He told him, okay, I'm going to let you go. Leave your kids here. Leave your kids and your cattle and everything here.
Right.
Go 3 days out there in the wilderness. He don't care if you go. Just make sure you're going to come back.
Yep.
The Bible says he left Jesus for a more opportune time. He's always going to come back. So one of the things that I had to do every time that thought would come, every time that desire would come, every time that feeling would come, every time, and I can't tell you how many times a day, every day that I had to do that, and I would say, I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I don't smoke, devil, and I'm not going to starve. And my mouth, my mouth is full of slobber, Johnny.
Right.
I'm serious because I want to smoke.
Right.
But I had come to the revelation, I've already been made free. There's not one thing that Jesus has not already freed us from. But we must come to the revelation of it, and then we have to fight the good fight of faith. There's not a one of us that the devil's just going to let you walk free. Not a one. Maybe you've been free so far, but then you get to a certain place and that devil says, nope, not going here. What about this that you used to do? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing.
Right.
Y'all heard Scotty, and I know a lot of people, they got shocked by him or whatever, you know, but because a lot of pastors, they don't tell you the truth. They just act kind of like they're all holy and never have a temptation whatsoever. Liars.
Amen.
You know, that really makes it harder for people because then they see all of us different. And we're not different. You know, the human race is the human race, regardless of your color or your age or your sex or anything like that. But when he tells people, you know, sometimes I have a desire I could smoke a joint as long as a power pole. I do too. Absolutely. What is that? Sometimes I have the thought, and sometimes I have the feeling, and sometimes the memory is brought back up of the things that I used to be doing at the time that I was doing it and how it felt, and I enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. Why? Because he's hoping I'll go back and do that again.
Right.
And again, and again, and again, and again. And then until I'm a Christian with a stronghold in my life, but I love God.
Right.
But I have yielded to the flesh and the devil until now I've got to get free of that thing that I've already been made free from again.
Amen.
But it starts every time with a thought or a desire. As he says there, he says, every man is tempted. This don't leave nobody out. And when it says man, it's talking about human race. It's not talking about Johnny being a physical man or whatever. So it applies to all. He says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, he says, and enticed. Listen, it is not sin for you to have a desire. It's not sin for you to have a thought. He says, but enticed, he says, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But notice that just because you have, listen, it was a temptation to Jesus, right? Yeah. That's what it says whenever he told him these things. It's not wrong when I have a thought. It's not wrong when I have a desire. But the thing that I need to do is right then take that thought captive.
Right
then take that thought captive.
Yep.
Why? Because if I don't already have a feeling, then I'm going to get a feeling. They say you got so many seconds to take a thought captive before then you get feelings that go along with it. And sometimes, how many knows the devil can give you feelings?
Yeah.
I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to have to close in just a few minutes. That's all we got left. Scotty, now after we got born again and God put him in business with his brother, Preston, grocery store business, they have to go to people's homes, give them prices, different things like that, do work at people's house or whatever. Well, he comes home one day, and I don't know how long he had this, and this goes back to something Mama said the other night about the devil working in darkness. He cannot work in light. He can't. Why? God is light, the Bible says. He's darkness. He works in the darkness. The Bible says we're of the day. But anyway, he's doing garage doors, and I don't know how long he had this or whatever. I think it may have been that day or the day before or something. But before we got born again, to tell me you have a desire for somebody, it would not be good. Mm-mm. No, it just ain't going to happen. But anyway, he comes home one day, and he says, listen, I got to tell you something. <It's not. coughs> And he tells me, excuse me, that he went to this house, and this lady comes to the door, and she has on a bathrobe. Has on her bathrobe whenever she comes to the door. And she's a Sunday school teacher somewhere. Anyway, he's there to do garage doors and all that. And he tells me, he said, and when she came to the door, he said, I felt like I loved her. And I'm looking like, are you stupid? I mean, I'm just, I've never faced nothing. We're baby Christians. You know, now, before we got saved, he never would have told me nothing like that. He's not telling me now to hurt me. How many knows it would be the Holy Spirit that would prompt to tell things, to bring them out into the light? Why? So they can't keep working. How many knows that if he had not told me, the devil would have kept telling him and kept telling him and kept telling him and kept telling him? So anyway, he tells me, he said, and I felt like I loved her. I said, what do you mean you loved her? Anyway, he said, I don't know. He said, I can't explain it. He said, I just felt like I loved her or whatever. So when he told me and everything, you know, wanted me to pray for him. So I started praying for him about that. And to my knowledge, he's never had that happen again. If he has, he hasn't ever said anything about it. What's my point there? Because Satan works wherever we keep things darkness. There are some times that things happen that, I don't know, maybe I did something, said something or whatever that I should have not, or I had a thought that's trying to work on me about somebody or something or other, and the first thing I do after a little while, because you don't want to do these things. Why? You don't want to hurt the people that you love. But they should be mature enough that we should be able to tell them and bring things out into the light. Why? So we can fight the real enemy together.
Yeah.
Right? Not each other. Scotty's not my problem. The devil's our problem. And we need to gang up on him together. So anyway, and I would have a thought or something, or something trying to bother me from the past or something like that or whatever. And so I will tell him. And I'll usually start by, you know I love you, right? And he knows then so a bomb is fixing to come, whatever it's going to be. Why? Because I'm not doing this to hurt him. I'm doing this because I love him and I want this to stop. But what the devil likes to do is don't tell them. He used to play this tape in my head. If people find out who you really are and what you're really like, they will not like you. And a lot of them, they don't. I just kind of let it all hang out. Now, I don't care. Where it used to, it would make me act stupid. I would be nervous in front of people, and it would cause me to say stupid stuff, or I wouldn't say anything, you know. And now some people, Scotty's like, just don't say quite as much, you know. But I had this tape playing in my head all the time. If people find out how you really are, they're not going to like you. Well, you know what? I finally got secure in God, and He loves me, and He likes me, and wherever I need to change, He'll help me, He'll show me. And I don't care what people think. I hope you like me, but if you don't, let us know. I don't lose no sleep over it. I take my sleeping pill, and I go right on to bed. Now I've got to stop because time is actually up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share?